Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Senator Collins and I, with a few colleagues, were in Yemen in August, and one of our American personnel there said to us, and I thought quite wisely, that Iraq is yesterday's war, Afghanistan is today's war, and if we don't act preemptively, Yemen will be tomorrow's war. We are acting preemptively now.
Senator Joe Lieberman on ABC This Week yesterday. And before we talk about all the issues that that raises, I want to tell you that we're going to do a call-in in about a half hour. And if you want to post some reactions to this question to our webpage at WNYC.org, you can start doing so right now. The question is, what would you as an American be willing to sacrifice to make the world a better place? This was a question that was suggested by one of our listeners who's going to come on with us for just a few minutes in about a half hour, talk about why he suggested the question in the first place, and then we will take your answers to the question, what would you as an American be willing to sacrifice to make the world a better place? So if you want to post answers to that at WNYC.org right now, we have a page for it, or to the Brian Lehrer Show Facebook page, and we'll take your calls on that question coming up in about a half hour. But some vacation, it turned out to be, for President Obama. He goes to Hawaii just before Christmas. The underwear bomber tries to strike on Christmas Day. Then his Homeland Security Secretary blows it on ABC This Week with Jake Tapper. Then Rush Limbaugh, who's also on vacation in Hawaii, gets taken to the hospital there and steals all the Hawaii headlines. Over New Year's weekend, the president announces the closing of the U.S. embassy in Yemen for security reasons and announces a new profiling regime. You will get the full body treatment now if you come from any country where al-Qaeda is known to have a presence or where there is believed to be state sponsorship of terrorism. And today the president is back in Washington, and the girls are back at Sidwell Friends. And ABC News senior White House correspondent Jake Tapper is here. Hi, Jake. Thanks a lot for coming on WNYC. Happy New Year.
Of course. Anytime. Happy New Year.
Now, did you get to go to Hawaii as part of your journalistic duties?
I did not. We have a three-month-old, and we figured that he could not make the journey. So the other White House correspondent we have, ABC News' Yunji Denise, who's actually born and bred in Hawaii, was happy to make the trip.
All right. Well, I saw you hosting ABC This Week on Sunday of Christmas weekend, so I thought then you'd have to take the ABC shuttle to get to Hawaii as soon as possible, just in case news broke. But congratulations on your baby.
Thank you.
And I want to play the clip of you with Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano that got her into hot water and almost defined the news cycle for the rest of the vacation week. So this begins with Jake Tapper's question.
How the suspect managed to retain a U.S. visa after such complaints and why he was not recognized as someone who reportedly was named in the terrorist database. Madam Secretary, how do you answer Senator Lieberman's questions?
Well, I think, first of all, we are investigating, as always, going backwards to see what happened and when, who knew what and when. I think it's important for the public to know there are different types of databases, and there was simply throughout the law enforcement community never information that would put this individual on a no-fly list or a selectee list. So that's number one. Number two, I think the important thing to recognize here is that once this incident occurred, everything happened that should have. The passengers reacted correctly. The crew reacted correctly. Within an hour to 90 minutes, all 128 flights in the air had been notified, and those flights already had taken mitigation measures on the off chance that there was somebody else also flying with some sort of destructive intent. So the system has worked really very, very smoothly over the course of the past several days.
So senior White House correspondent for ABC News, Jake Tapper, is with us. He was hosting ABC This Week on that day. So, Jake, what happened there? Did you hear that answer and think, what is she kidding? It's heck of a job, Brownie, all over again. What was that moment like?
Well, she kept saying it. She kept on saying that, you know, once the attempted attack happened, everything worked, which is a bit like saying, you know, that after the towers fell, all the hospitals in New York, you know, successfully ministered to patients. That's great, but that's really not the point. The point is, how does this guy, that it turns out we knew a little bit on that Sunday, the 27th of December, about him. We know even more now, but by then we knew that his father had gone to the U.S. Embassy to say, my son is participating in extremist activities in Yemen. And we know now that the CIA passed along that information to the National Counterterrorism Center, but it really didn't go anywhere from there. And obviously we know that he was wearing explosives on his underwear bomb. How does that guy get on a plane, a Christmas Day flight from Amsterdam to Detroit? It was rather otherworldly, and eventually later on in the interview I said to her, you keep saying the system worked. The passengers worked, the crew worked, but I think a lot of serious concerns that not everybody in U.S. government worked. She went out basically the next day, did the morning shows on Monday, the 28th, and changed her message where she was talking about how the system did not work,
and so,
emphasizing that. It was strange, and I thought of a mistake, and I think that they pretty quickly realized that it was a mistake.
And it obviously diminished confidence in her, in the Homeland Security Department, to some degree in the Obama administration. And I wonder if you think that caused them to react more strongly on a policy level than they would have had she come out and been more effective in what she said to you. I mean, would we be doing national profiling today of any flyer from 14 countries in the world had she not looked complacent about the system in your interview?
That's hard to say. I think that might be assigning too much to one interview. I think the concerns are now such that I think probably a lot of people don't understand why people coming from Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iraq or countries, you know, where there is a known al-Qaeda presence, why they wouldn't be given extra scrutiny. And I think that that's what's happening now, not to defend the policy or argue against it, but I think probably it was bound to happen sooner or later, increased nature of the threat. But I guess my only point is I don't think it's just because of Palatano.
Yeah, not just because of that. But before we accept this as simply the natural order of things, I wonder how the rest of the world is going to respond. And is it at all controversial in White House circles to profile everybody from 11 whole nations because al-Qaeda may or may not have 100 fighters in some of those countries, or these are state sponsors of terrorism in America's eyes? And let me read our listeners the full list, because it's not that long. It's 14 countries. So now anybody from Cuba, Iran, Sudan, Syria, Afghanistan, Algeria, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Yemen will be subject, Jake, to what exactly that other people won't?
Well, they haven't really gone into detail as of yet. In the anecdotal reports that we have from Europe, where this policy took effect today, so obviously it's been today longer in Europe and across the world than it has been here in the States. Anecdotal reports that we have are that it hasn't really meant undue screening processes as far as can be discerned as of now. It might just be more awareness on the part of security personnel about those individuals. In some cases, it might mean as much as a pat down. We don't really know as of now what those more intensive security measures will be. I don't know if describing it as I guess it's the definition of profiling to say anybody who travels from or through these 14 countries will be subject to extra screening. But that's not the same thing as saying every person who is, just to pick a random religion, Sikh, wherever they're traveling from, whatever flight they're on, will be subject to more screening.
Well, that's an interesting analysis, that you think that it's a different category to profile somebody based on nationality than based on religion or ethnicity?
Well, it's based on geography. They're not saying you have to be from those countries. they're saying you have to be traveling from or through those countries.
Actually, my understanding, and Jake, maybe I've got this wrong, but my understanding was that if you hold, let's say, a Nigerian passport, but you're traveling on that day from London to the United States, you will be subject to whatever these new rules are because you hold a Nigerian passport. Am I incorrect? Do you know?
I don't know. I would imagine that that might categorize you as traveling originally from Nigeria. So it will probably would apply. But, I don't actually know the exact definition.
Right.
We got a couple emails on this last night from the TSA, and that's a good question, and I'll find out, and I'll tweet you later.
That would be great. In fact, along these lines, let me play a clip from yesterday's ABC This Week with Terry Moran hosting, asking Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, about profiling. And we should say this came just before the White House's announcement. So I will wonder, Jake, if you interpret this at all as Susan Collins maybe being a little squeamish about the kind of thing we subsequently heard announced.
Let me turn actually to the subject of passenger screening, which has been raised. And is it time to profile passengers on the basis of religion or ethnicity, or is that completely contrary to our ideals and our values as Americans?
The problem with profiling is if you take that approach, you're going to miss the Richard Reeds, who do not fit the profile. But what we have in this case was a failure to act on a very credible report from the terrorist father that should, at the very least, have caused the State Department to revoke his visa. To me, that is the biggest question.
So it's interesting to me the way that conversation went, because Terry's question was about the basis of religion or ethnicity and whether that's completely contrary to our ideals and our values as Americans. And she came out against that kind of profiling at airports. I wonder what Susan Collins would say today to the idea of profiling based on nationality or country that one is traveling. It's still a large group that doesn't have anything to do with the individual.
I hear what you're saying. I just went back and looked at the memo from the TSA while you were putting that clip, and it says traveling from. It does not say it makes it an issue of geographic mm-hmm. profiling, not nationality profiling, although I did send an email to the TSA person
right.
to find out more. This is the conundrum that people whose responsibility it is to keep us safe face,
right.
that, you know, there is a direct threat from an ideology, and you can't profile for ideology, Brian. It'd be great if you could sometimes, I guess, but you can't. And,
right. Although the failure to catch the Christmas Day terrorist, and this is the point that Senator Collins was making, was a failure to identify suspicious things that he as an individual did, right? His individual action. You asked White House spokesman Robert Gibbs if that guy was on a watch list, who was watching him? And,
right.
and that was a great question, because this guy as an individual was already on a watch list. So,
that's really what I think the big breakdown was, not the question of whether or not we should be profiling people flying from Nigeria. This guy was actually flying from Ghana. He bought his ticket in Ghana, but was flying from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. But, I mean, there's nothing that would have stopped Abdul Muttalib from flying from Ghana, given that he bought his ticket in Ghana, and that's not on the watch list. So, you know, how does that even work?
What kind of answer did you get to your question to Robert Gibbs? Because I'm sure many Americans have just heard for the first time since this Christmas incident that there are 550,000 people on one of these watch lists, another 18,000 on another level of list. How are that many people watched once they're on the lists?
I don't think I think calling it a watch list is a stretch. It's a database of people whose names have been reported. And I had a conversation with somebody who I'm only allowed to identify as a senior intelligence official, and asked this very question: What does it mean What is it? Anybody can put a name down on a piece of paper and say, okay, you know, Abdulmutallab's on the watch list, and then you stick the paper with 549,000 other names, or 549,999 other names, stick it in your drawer, and there they're on the watch list. So what? And it turns out that this list is quite expansive and could just be somebody with a phone number that is tied to terrorism called you. And some sort of intercept picked it up. Now, maybe they called you because they wanted to make a donation to WNYC during a pledge drive, and it has nothing absolutely to do with you, and you certainly have no tie. It sounds to me like a lot of people on this list are absolutely of no danger whatsoever. And then there's a smaller list of, I think, 400,000. They've winnowed it down to that. And, you know, we don't have the capability of following every single one of these people. So I don't know the worth of this list right now, to be quite frank. And I think that's one of the things that President Obama was trying to get at in these meetings that interrupted his vacation, when he was trying to find out what's the point of having these lists if a father. I mean, it really is, when you think about it on its face, a remarkable thing for a respected Nigerian businessman to go into the U.S. embassy. And from what I understand, and there are reports also that he also talked to MI5, so purport, you know, he possibly also went to the British embassy, and say, I'm worried about my son, he's tied to extremists. This is not like I need to stage an intervention. He wasn't going to Dr. Drew, right? He was warning the United States that this might be something, his son might be a risk. And the fact that that name went from the CIA to the National Counterterrorism Center, and they concluded they didn't have enough to do anything with him, even revoke his visa, even though the British had denied him a visa months before. That's, to me, I think, where the major breakdown is. Not the fact that he was flying from Nigeria, not the fact that that he had spent time in Yemen necessarily, but the fact that his father had, and I think that's what Senator Collins was, I mean, here is somebody with direct knowledge of his son warning the United States about him, and sure, Nothing was done with it.
ABC senior White House correspondent Jake Tapper, who we're almost out of time with. Jake, a couple of things real quick. I want to tie back to a segment that we did on local politics with some other guests last hour. We played a clip from Mayor Bloomberg's inaugural address on Friday, and he referenced comprehensive immigration reform that President Obama wants to see pushed through. And it was interesting to me that the mayor of New York City hooked his support for immigrants and immigration in terms of the president's agenda. As far as you know, as White House correspondent, are we going to see this year, in addition to a focus on the deficit, in addition to a focus on jobs, in addition to Afghanistan and Yemen and finishing the health care bill, are we going to see a new push for comprehensive immigration reform from this president?
We've been told that the president would support efforts on immigration reform this year. My gut feeling, Brian, is that it is a controversial issue, that House Democrats are very, very nervous about what they see in the polls, what they sense from the public, the bad ratings for health care reform. And I would sense, I would guess as of right now, that there is not going to be any strong desire from Democratic leaders in the House, with a few exceptions, and Senate, to take on an issue as controversial as immigration reform. Remember, this was an issue that could not get done when there was a Republican president who supported it, a then-popular Republican in John McCain and Ted Kennedy pushing for it. It's a very, very difficult issue to get done, even with Democratic majorities and a Republican president, that kind of bipartisan coalition. So I would guess no.
And before you go, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, because the gossip columns have your name as a possibility for a new host of ABC This Week to replace George Stephanopoulos. Do you want to say anything about your interest? Or
it's a great show. George did a great job. Anybody who gets that show would be an honor to do it. There are a lot of names out there who are all excellent journalists, and I'm sure we'll do a great job, and I'm afraid that's all you're going to get out of me.
What do you think about these Sunday morning shows and their place in our politics and democracy in today's media?
I think they're really important, and I think that they are best when they are news-making and when the people, when the guests are being challenged on things that they're saying, as opposed to it just being an opportunity for them to come on and spew whatever talking points they want, whether from the left or from the right. I think that's been the tradition of this week, starting with David Brinkley and continuing on.
All right. Jake Tapper, senior White House correspondent for ABC News. Thanks a lot again for coming on with us today. I appreciate it.
Of course, Brian. Look for my tweet because I will get an answer to your question and I will put it out there, and then you have to tell your kind listeners.
We will put it on the air and credit you. Jake, thanks again. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute, why the American workplace is becoming surveillance nation. Stay with us.